Praise the Lord. Message number 142. The title of the message is a practical exhortation to worthy Christian living. Let's open our Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and let's read from verse 1 to verse 17. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Verse 7. Say, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 8. Say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, because bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Submit and obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that you sent us to exhort us and to remind us of your ways, so that we will live our life worthy of the calling that you call us to be your people, to be called by your name, Christian. Lord, I pray that the message will be clear to your people, and whatever the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in our life. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the conclusion of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews were written to Jews who became Christian. And here, the last chapter, he is reminding them of the important things that regard to faith and walking with God. Keep on loving each other as brothers. We need to continue to love one another. All the brethren, those who are with us and those with other denominations, those who belong to Christ, who are faithful, we are called to love them. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 say, God is not unjust, he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. How we love each other or keep on loving each other as brothers? By helping one another. We are called to do good and to help one another and to do the right things that God wants us to do. Loving not only those who are with us, but whomever the Lord will bring across to us, and we need to entertain them. In verse 2, he says, Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. In the book of Genesis chapter 18 and 19, the Lord visited Abraham. The Lord may visit us in some way or another, or through people that he allowed that they will cross our life. So we need to be open to God and open, O God, to the people that God would allow to come across our life. When God visited Abraham, he opened his door to him and provided a meal to him and listened to him, and he received the blessing. The same for us. We need to be open for God, to his people, to help them, to welcome those who belong to God and do our responsibility toward them. Speak all about love. In verse 3, the love will also extend to show sympathy to those who are in a prison, to those who are mistreated and afflicted. It says, remember those in a prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. If one part suffer, the all part suffer. If one part honor, the all part are honored. The point here, some in the body of Christ, some of our brethren, they may pass through trials and suffering. We may pass through the same in the future, or we had passed. We need to show not only sympathy but also empathy to help them and to support them at this time of their need. He say, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. God allow trials, God allow persecution. One time it will be on someone. Maybe I had passed through that, or God may allow that I will pass through suffering in the future. We need to show concern and care as much as we can. Show hospitality, sharing what we have, praying, supporting on all what we have in our resources we have to employ them for such purpose. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 33 and verse 34, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So here, sometimes we may suffer, sometimes we, other people in the body of Christ, we suffer, but we need to stand beside them and close to them, to support them, as God has supported us in times of our affliction by sending people, by sending those who belong to Christ to help us in our trials and mistreatment and the persecution and the insult that we had passed through. In verse 34, you sympathized with those in the prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. You speak here about persecution. It may go into confiscation of what belongs to us or what belongs to others, and we need to sympathize and to support as much as we can. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1-3 speak about practical love. That is how we show love, and that is how God wants us to live a worthy Christian living according to the call that God had called us to have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And furthermore, verse 4, Hebrews 13 verse 4 say, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Marriage, it have physical intimacy and need to be kept pure. The physical intimacy and the sexual relationship is only between husband and wife. Those who involve in improper sexual relationship outside the proper marital life will find out that God himself will be against them in the day of judgment. God will judge those who do adultery, those who have sexual relationship outside the marital life, or those who entertain divorce and remarriage. God will consider this as adultery and he will judge them. Those who have partner and still alive and they move to marry another, they are living in adultery in this way, and God will judge such relationship. Even on paper they are married, but in front of God's sight, as they were married before and their partner is still alive, then that is considered also sexual immorality, and God will judge the adulterer and he will judge them. Hebrews 13 verse 5 say, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God wants us to be contented of what we have. Christian living is toward contentment and not toward to have more money, love of money and covetousness. God wants us to have satisfaction of what he gives us, because Christian life, we never face it alone. Always the Lord is with us. And that is His promise, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, as He said that in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, and also in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6. In this Hebrew chapter 13 verse 5, it shows how we can quote scripture from the Old Testament and apply it in our life today. And it shows also how to use God's word to comfort ourselves and to comfort our souls in time of trials, in time of suffering, in time of troubles, how we comfort ourselves with God's promises and His assurance to us and His provision to us in time of need. Verse 6, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God is our help. God is our support. When you face trials and hardship, you don't need to do what is wrong. You don't need to follow the act of the sinful nature to solve your problem. You don't need to follow the bad examples and those who do wrong. God is your helper, and He will support you, and He will deliver you and solve your problem. You need to fully rely on Him. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. He say here to remember your leader. Remember those who taught you the word of God, so you will get inspiration from their Christian walk with God and a Christian life. You will remember their life and how they walk with God and how they live for God, and the end of their life, how their life ended and what is the fruit in their life. You compare what they have said to you and how they live their life and imitate. Imitate their example as they imitate the example of Christ and follow Christ. When you imitate their faith, then you are getting their life as a good example for you to follow what Jesus ordained for us as a Christian to do in our life. You imitate their love to the brethren, love to the lost souls, their love to God by living in holiness and obeying His word and His command. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There is no change in the word of God. Old Testament, New Testament, in the future, the same word of God and the same teaching God and Jesus Christ want us to follow the same. Verse 9, He said, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We need to be aware of the presence of perverted, strange doctrines and strange and wrong and the wrong teaching that is also prevalent nowadays. The book of Hebrew was written to the Jews who become Christian and follower of Christ, but the influence of the other religion, the Judaism, and the false teachers are still there. Some, they said that they need to do certain things and they will offer certain sacrifices to God so that they will be saved. But our heart should be strengthened and established by God's grace, by God's salvation through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is no other way to be saved except through faith in Christ, our Lord. There is nothing we can do for the salvation, for we are saved by grace through faith. That is not from you, that is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. We cannot do anything for our salvation, but we are called to respond to that salvation by obeying God and applying His word and His ways and His plans in our life. In verse 10, you see we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. In the Old Testament, the priest will offer the sacrifices that offer to God. In New Testament, Jesus offered His life on the cross, and we, as we believe on His work on the cross, we receive salvation. As we believe that He offered His body as a sin offering for us, as atonement for our sins, we are saved. One of the sacrifices that is written about in the book of Leviticus is the sin offering. If you will go through book of Leviticus chapter 4, when they offer the sin offering, and that is what Christ offered Himself for, after they will slaughter the beast, the animal, they will take the blood of it, and they will take also the fat, and they will offer it on the altar. We will read that in book of Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 5. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip the finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord in the front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of a fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull's blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Verse 10. Just as the fat is removed from the ox sacrificed as a fellowship offerings, then the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. Verse 11, but the hide of the bull, that is the body of the bull, and all its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the inner parts, and offer, that is all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially clean, where the ashes are thrown and burned in a wood fire on the ash heap. So here the sin offering, after the blood is sprinkled, the rest of the sin offering, the body, the eyes, the legs, the head, the offers, it will be taken outside the camp, outside the gate, outside the city. The priest shall not eat anything. And that's what he said. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The sin offering, the priest have no right to eat. It have to be burned all outside the city, outside the gate. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 11. And that is our faith in Christ. Christ was offered as a sin offering. The high priest, verse 11, carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. Verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. That is what we believe. We believe that salvation only through the sacrifice of Jesus. So, that is the altar we believe. Not that we do something and God save us. It is because Jesus died for our sin and we are saved through grace. Now, that is the explanation of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12 is show explanation for our faith. Jesus suffered outside the city gate. He died for our sin, and that's why we are saved. Therefore, we must be prepared to go forth outside the camp. That is in Hebrews 13, verse 13. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. Now here, when we follow Christ, we need to go where Christ had moved outside the city. We go forth to bear the abuse and the reproach of being associated with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ suffered insult and abuse and dishonor, and as we follow Christ, we may pass through all these things. And sometimes we ask, Lord, why I'm getting insult? Why I'm getting suffering? Why I'm persecuted? Remember your Lord. That is the altar that we serve. Not that we receive honor and we receive a glory from these worldly things. We give our life. Christ gave his life. He shed his blood. And we are his followers. We follow him. We live our life to him. We give our best to God. As the sin offering, they will offer the blood and they will burn the fat. The best things of your life, you will give it to God. And what you will receive, what Christ has received, insult, persecution, troubles, trials, rejection, abuse, that is the altar that we minister and we serve. Hebrews 13:14, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. We are not looking for the earthly things, material things, or worldly things to be rewarded with, but we are looking for Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that will come to us from heaven. On earth, we give our best, our life, the best of our body. You know, fat, it has calories. You know, you say here in Leviticus chapter 4, how they will offer the sin offering. And verse 8 and 9, he shall remove all the fat from the bowl of the sin offering, the fat that covers the inner parts or is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the covering of the liver, which he will remove with the kidney, just as the fat is removed from the ox sacrifice as fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. The fat is the highest calories, and those who eat fat, they will be very fatty because it have high calorie. So the high energy, the best things you give to God, your life, and what you receive, you receive as Christ received, suffering now, glory and honor in the heavenlies when Christ will come, that we will be with him. We give service, we give love, we give time, we share our possessions, we receive insults, abuse, rejection, persecution, confiscation of rights and belongings. And that is the altar that we are serving. And that is here the heart of a practical exhortation to worthy Christian living. God wants us to live in such a way. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. God wants us to continually offer to God a sacrifice. Which kind of sacrifice here? Sacrifice of praise. It's not that you give songs to God or praise and worship to God. No, it is not that. But let us read the deep meaning of the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. When we speak, our mouth is connected with our heart. And what the sacrifice, what God want to hear from us. In the book of Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2 say, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sin have been your downfall. He said, return. Verse 2, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. So what is the fruit of our lips? Confessing our sin and returning to God, making commitment, Lord, we return to you. We will not go back to sin. Accept us so that we will continually offer to you the fruit of our lips. The sacrifice is not only praise, but our whole life will be the best of it, the fat of it, will be given as a burnt offering, and the rest we receive as Christ received suffering and hardship, but we gladly endure it and will continue to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. God wants us to share with others, to sympathize with those who are suffering, those in prison, those in need, those who are in trials, those having problem, as the Lord say in Hosea chapter 6 verse 6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants us to show mercy, to care for those who are in trouble, to care for those who are in need. With such sacrifices, the Lord is pleased. And also, let us read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The church supported Paul, and God called us to support. God called you to support the mission of the church, those who labor hard to bring the gospel. These are acceptable sacrifices, a fragrant offering, pleasing to God, to support His work, to go on and preach the gospel, to go on and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. The Lord reminding us today of basic things for worthy Christian living. Hebrews 13:17, you say, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. God wants us to follow the correct teaching, to follow the leaders who taught us and who continue to teach us, and continue who care for us and keep watch over us. To such kind of leader, we need to submit. Because the correct teaching will bring us into the way of the Lord and will assure us in our salvation. Submission is directed to those leaders who impart to our faith, and those who care for us and lead us in the way of righteousness. Submission toward the leaders who teach and admonish with the word of God, and who care for the flocks and care for the sheep. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word that you send us. Lord, you remind us that our life is not our own. Lord, many of us who might be hurt with trials, with suffering, they might give their best. They have burned their life for others and for you, but they have received less or insult or persecution. Lord, comfort. And this message I pray in the name of Jesus. It will be a good guidance for us to understand what kind of life and what kind of sacrifices you are going to pleased with. Lord, remind us always, remind my brothers and my sister, whenever any one of us pass trials or persecution or he get insult or abuse or rejection, remind with the Holy Spirit, bring us once again to this word of yours, so that everyone will be encouraged and will continue to do the mandate that you ordained for us as a church, to continue to serve you in the right way, in the right teaching, and with the right leadership. Oh God, provide for us, continue to provide for us the right leaders who will continue to care for the sheep and keep watch on each and everyone. Make us, Lord, more alert, more faithful to continue to keep watch over all the flocks that you entrust to us, to continue to nurture them and lead them in the way of righteousness. Oh Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.